You have your Bibles, open up to Numbers chapter 9. While you're turning there, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you for all the youth. We thank you for the children. Father God, we just thank you that, Lord, you just love the little children and you love when the adults become as little children and absorb your word. And Father God, as we minister your word today, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, who's here to comfort us and guide us and teach us in all your ways. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would meet people here today at their point of need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 9, I want to start reading in verse 15, and I want to read down to the actually to the end of the chapter. But before I do that, I just want to, you know, God wants to, you know, I can't get away from God wanting to bless us. Amen. Above all we could ever imagine. Just wants to do more, you know. But what I found out in 40 years of being saved, sometimes there's conditions to God's provisions. And in the Old Testament, God provided for the children of Israel as long as they followed the cloud. So let's read this here. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up and the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, from evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covering it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place of the cloud, and in the place where the cloud settled, the children of Israel would pitch their tents. And at the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was so when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days. According to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped, and according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only for an evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. At the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord and the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Man, a lot of command in there, huh? But what we have to understand, as long as they moved with the cloud, they had the provisions that they needed. Many days, it says in this verse, many days, few days, until morning, until night. Now let's think about it. If the cloud settled at night, then over a million people had to pitch tents. And then if the next morning God was going to move the cloud, a million people had to unpitch their tents and move. We're talking major logistics going on here. But yet the secret of the whole thing of them being blessed was that they listened to the command of the Lord. If they did not, they would not be blessed. And so some people want to move all the time and God's telling them to wait. And some people have been waiting so long, God wants them to move. And they're not receiving the blessings that God has them for them. All right? So, you know, they were to move. We need to be listen to God. I mean, the food, the refreshment can only be obtained as long as they traveled at the command of God. Are you listening to me? This is so important because we're going to look at a couple other illustrations in the Word of God, how God blessed people as long as they listened to what he was saying. All right? Seven times in those verses of Scripture, it says that at the command of the Lord, they moved. Obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience is always the breeding ground for the miracle that you need. If you're waiting for a miracle, you need to be obedient to what God says. All right? Where he guides, you know, there's a saying we used to say all the time, where he guides, he provides. All right? So as long as you follow him, provision's going to follow you.
Amen.
All right? The cloud represents the presence of God. In the Bible, the cloud always represented the presence of God. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." In his presence. Acts tells about the presence of the Lord brings refreshing. You know, if you feel, you know, the title of the sermon is God Works Both Ends, okay? All right? But the thing about it is, even in the New Testament, it says in the presence of God are times of refreshings. Sometimes we just need to sit back, shut your TV, close your blinds, and just take in the presence of God in your life. Because that's where refreshing comes from. You know, against popular opinion, this is my opinion, all right, is people think running to the gym, jogging, exercising, and all these brings refreshments to your life. And it does. But nothing will bring refreshments like being in the presence of God. Nothing wrong with, I'm not against exercising, although it might look like it, all right, but I'm not saying it doesn't have its benefits, but the presence of God is where refreshing comes. So, and again, if you'll notice, it says being in the presence of God will produce pleasures, you know? If we continue to follow his presence, we'll always walk in his pleasures. What are his pleasures? Well, you know, we read scriptures about prosperity. That's certainly part of his pleasure. He wants to prosper us. He wants to. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. God still wants to prosper us. All right? And if you don't think he wants to, don't worry. He won't. You don't have to worry about it. It's okay. You know, and when we talk about prosperity, people, you know, we're not just talking about money. People are fixated on money. Money's okay, but I know rich people who are sick and not doing them any good. We need money. But he's talking about life. He's talking about prospering in life, in all areas of your life. Socially, mentally, physically, financially. He says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And we use that verse of scripture when we talk about prosperity all the time, and it certainly means that. But that word prosper there means to have a good journey in life. God wants you to have. There are people who are rich that are not having a good journey in life. There are people who are worried about money, saving, 401ks, all these things, and they worry about them. And guess what? They're not having a good journey because they're consumed with worrying about these things instead of being in the presence of God and being obedient to what God says. Because then your 401k and everything else are going to take care of itself. Psalm 35, verse 27, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his people or his servants." He has pleasure when we prosper. He's not against it. And one thing that really does please God is when his people prosper. It pleases him. But the thing about it is you can't prosper apart from following God's presence. You know, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 says this. Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." A lot of people are willing. Most of the body of Christ is willing. But a great majority aren't obedient. And oftentimes it's just a little adjustment in your life. Tweak. You know? Pastor Eddie and myself, we work up on the beach. Yesterday we were tweaking a lot. Anyway. But see, if you could eat the good of the land, you could wear the good of the land. You could drive the good of the land. You could live in the good of the land. You can be in good health. But you need to be willing and you need to be obedient. All right? God takes pleasure in seeing his children eat in the good of the land. One translation, the Living Bible, says it this way. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. That's the New Living Bible says that. If you only let me help you, he's saying. Stop trying to do it yourself. You can't do it. You're just making a mess out of things. If you'll only obey me, then I will make you rich. A lot of people trying to get rich, and God ain't in it. It's a shame. But he wants us to prosper and be in health. But yet it's so hard for believers to accept that for some reason. You know, we could accept tragedy with no problem, but we can't accept the blessings. You know, we're coming, well, it just must have been God's will. You know, for all this tragedy to happen. Somebody messed the wine up in Umbria, so God sent an earthquake. For those of you who know the earthquake in Italy, you know, that area is a big wine-growing area. And, you know, people come up with goofy things, you know. That happened because God was just trying to show them something. But, boy, if somebody starts to prosper, they got to be cheating. You ever hear that? Yeah. Oh, they got to be doing that. They're just in it for the money. That's what people say. They just can't accept the fact. All right? Abraham. You know Abraham? God made Abraham rich and gave him long life. And Abraham died full of years. The Bible specifically said he died full of years, not full of sickness. You know, my father-in-law died 95 years old, full years. All right, the last couple months he was battling with a little bit of pneumonia and stuff, but then when he got down to the VA, you know, and he was 95, he would forget things. I wish I remember what he remembers. I'm 95, I'll tell you the truth, but, you know, he would forget stuff. But still, he didn't die, he just went home. And he waited till we were in Switzerland. Praise the Lord. But we need to understand something about Abraham. Abraham obeyed God when he told him to leave his country and to follow him into another land. Even though he wasn't quite obedient to the T. Remember Wednesday night we said out of four commands, he only kept one, he left. Okay, if you were here, so you need to come on Wednesday nights because you're missing a blessing if you're not. But anyway, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, it says, Abraham was very rich. So I looked up what very rich meant. And to my amazement, it meant very rich. I looked it up in the Hebrew. Actually, I looked it up this morning at 7:38 this morning. On my computer, I was studying in my programs, and I said, you know, maybe this has another meaning because people get so nervous when you talk about finances. You know, they always think you're trying to get in their pocket. But so I looked up very rich in the Hebrew and in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. And it means very rich, very prosperous, above and beyond what you could imagine. That was Abraham. But what was his secret? You know, he had some faith mistakes along the way. Tried to help God. But for the most part, we said it on Wednesday night, Abraham was obedient to God. Abraham never lost his passion for God. Amen. Even though he messed up, even though he had Ishmael, even though all these things that happened in his life where he didn't quite get it, you know, he tried to, God said this, let me help God. We do that all the time. You know, we try to figure it out in our own understanding, and really we can't. But no, Abraham had passion, and he was obedient. And obedience always brings God's reward. Later on, we see in chapter 14 that Abraham gave tithes of all. He even goes on to say in those things, when the king came, no, not Melchizedek, the other king, wanted Abraham to keep all the stuff and give the men back. Abraham says, no man makes me rich but God. And he refused to keep it. God made him. How do we know this? Because the Bible says he's a rewarder. Hebrews chapter 11 says he's a rewarder to those that seek him. All right. Genesis chapter 24. It says this. Verse 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds. And silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. That's the King James Version. I couldn't resist it. And I'll end there before I get in trouble. Because we all have a few donkeys in our life, right? All right. And this is going out live, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you. For more, come on Wednesday. Anyway. But for those who obey God and be a giver and a tither, the Lord will get his angel to go before them and prosper them. You say, what are you talking about? Read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. He sends out his ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation to bring. We don't ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. All right? Now, this isn't basically, I'm not here to do a tithing message. It just flows with it. But God wants to take, even in healing, every area of our life. We need to understand that, okay? And we're going to see some. You know, God, the net title of it is God Works Both Ends. All right? But in Psalm 78, verse 19, it says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see, we need to understand something. Your circumstances should never determine your prosperity. What determines God prospering you is your obedience to God. Okay, the wilderness didn't stop God's provision for the Israelites, and it won't stop yours. There were some pretty harsh conditions in the wilderness. It was extremely hot during the day. It was a desert. It was the Sinai desert, but God gave them a cloud. And the desert is a weird place because it can be 100 degrees in the day and 50 or 40 degrees in the evening. And what did God give them in the evening? Fire. God took care of them right down to air conditioning and heat. Amen. All they had to do, imagine if they said, let the cloud go, we're going to stay here. They would have fried and froze. But they had to be obedient to the cloud moving. All right? God's not limited by your circumstances. Because the Bible says he meets our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, not by what your little brain could come up with. Because it's minuscule at the most compared to God. Amen. You know, Psalm 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so you shall dwell in the land and thou shalt be fed. We don't ever have to tell God how to feed us. You know, he knows. It's not stupid. He knows how to set a table in the wilderness for you. He knows how to set the table in the midst of your enemies. Read Psalm 1. Psalm 23, I mean. Read Psalm 23. We kind of think that's what we read at funerals. You know, It's the big funeral psalm. It's not about, no, that psalm's about you walking in the shadow of death. You're walking it all day. How he'll set a table in the midst of your enemies. He'll protect you. He knows how to set that table. He has, if he has to command ravens to come and feed you. I mean, 1 Kings chapter, it's not going to be a long message today, aren't you glad? Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3 to 10. Let's go look at it, okay? I have time. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came to him. It's talking about Elijah, the Tishbite. Saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of God, the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. So I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And we'll stop there. Now here he was. God fed him. Supernatural. He said, go to the brook of Cherith. What if he said, nah, I want to go to the brook of the Hudson River? He would have had some sludge to eat, I'll tell you that. But think about it. No, seriously. Think about it. God told him to go to a specific place. You know, and God sent him there, and there was water, and God sent the birds and brought him. He didn't eat the ravens. They brought him bread and meat. Think about that. Now, I was there a couple years. No problem sitting. Everything was going good. Ate in the morning, ate in the evening. Had bread, had meat. Was on like, you know, low carb, high protein diet. Drinking water. But then the brook dried up. Must have been the end for old Elijah, huh? The brook dried up. Some of your brook is dried up. Because God's telling you to go to the next step. And you're not doing it. I don't know what the next step is for you. But whatever it is, if you're not doing it, the ravens have stopped coming. The bread has stopped coming. The meat has stopped coming. And you're scrambling to figure it out. And God's saying, get up. The cloud has moved. And it could be anything. It could be anything. It could be anything from giving a tithe, giving an offering, to blessing somebody, to helping someone, to going and see someone that God's been dealing with you about. It could be anything. But if we don't move, when God's talking to our hearts, and it don't have to be the most drastic thing in the world, you know, don't have to mean God wants you to move to Alaska. You know, some people, God, I think God's telling me to go to Alaska. No, it could be the most simplest thing in the world. It could be something with your kids, your husband, anything. If we won't take that step, we're not being obedient to God. We might be willing, but we need to be obedient. Amen. To do what God is telling us to do. Amen. See, Elijah had a... See, God always takes care of you better than you can take care of you. Elijah had to be in the right place at the right time. The ravens only flew to the brook of Cherith. He had to move when God said move. All right? It dried up. And if your brook is dry, don't let it get you down. God is working the other end. See, God has another plan. You just need to be obedient. He's got the other plan for your life. Amen. You just got to be obedient. So he told him to go to place to Zarephath, and we know the order there. He didn't even have to look very hard. There she was at the gate of the city. God says, there she is. She's going to feed you. He goes there. She goes, I can't feed you. I don't have nothing. You know, some of us would go, oh, God, I missed God. No, he had explained to her who he was and what he was doing. And that if she fed him, God would bless her. Amen. See, when you're obedient, you're not the only one that gets blessed. Everybody else down, it's kind of like, multi-level marketing. Yeah. You listen to God and everybody in your downline gets blessed. And there's a lot of examples. Next couple minutes, and we'll close. I'll give you some examples. Abraham, God told Abraham, go up to the mountain, sacrifice Isaac. God was working the other end. In order to get that ram out of the thicket, he had to go up the mountain with Isaac. It defies all logic. But in order for us to get, and look what happened, because Abraham was obedient, we were blessed. Amen. Are you listening? I think some of you have gone tilt. He obeyed God, took his son, his only son, whom he loveth, up the mountain to sacrifice him. And we can go longer with that one now. No? Oh, well, you're going to have to hit it again then. Okay, anyway, his only son. And God had a substitute. You were supposed to go to the cross, and God sent a substitute. All right. Rahab. God was working on behalf of the spies. God had her ready. But they had to be obedient. Ruth followed Naomi. God had handpicked a husband for her who was a financial giant. Think about it. Some of you need to read the book of Ruth because you're looking at me like, what about the Ethiopian? He had questions about God. And God sent Philip. What if Philip wasn't obedient? The Ethiopian wouldn't have got saved. And here's what we got to do in closing. It's real simple. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. All right? For the joy that was set before him. We're the joy that's set before God. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are seated in heavenly places in him. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. He's our Alpha. He's our Omega. Jesus says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. One translation says it this way. I have prosperity and not misfortune for you. When the doctor says there's no hope, there's hope. When the world says you're a loser, guess what? God says you're a winner. Because God's working both ends. Our we need to be obedient. That simple. We got the willing part down. Everybody was willing, but we need to get the obedient part down. Amen. 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 You know, James talks about Job's end. Job's end was real simple. Job's end is God turned the captivity for Job, and he was seven times as wealthy as he was before that whole ordeal started. Amen? And God will bless you and put you on top. You just need to be willing and obedient and know that God is going to work both ends. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads. God is talking to people even as you're sitting in that chair right now. Your seat's really hot. You know, that commercial on television about your keister, you know, your keister's really hot. All right, and God wants to turn things around for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. I thank you for the word that went forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know it fell on good soil. If people become willing and obedient to obey God, Father, you're going to take care of them. No matter what comes their way, you are going to take care of them. Because you're working both ends. When we think it's over, when the brook dries up, he's got another stream, fresh stream for us, Father. And Lord, I praise you for it, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name.